We all know how overwhelming it can feel to try to decide what to eat, what's healthy, what's not. The options are endless, which is why my mom and I have been absolutely loving Factor. If you're ready to optimize your nutrition this year, Factor is perfect for you. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, so it's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle, which is exactly why my mom and I have been loving it so much. They have 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, so it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. You can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. And best of all, Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. I got some juices in my last delivery that I've been loving having as an in-between my delicious meals. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first blocks plus free shipping. That's FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am joined, as always, by my mother, Barb. And we're so excited to be chatting with you all this week about life's most interesting and meaningful topics. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Wow.
Fantastic.
You are bubbling over with energy today. She just got back from a little trip that I think really rejuvenated you.
Oh, unbelievable.
Which was needed.
10 days in Italy.
Yes.
Maybe we can talk about that on an episode of all the things that, not so much the things that I experienced and did there externally, but all of the internal awarenesses, that's a word, just all the things that happened to me just taking time away from work, from, you know, the familiarity life of our country and life and all the things, just in general, just getting away because I hadn't really been away like that and had nothing planned, but just to kind of be really. And it was really amazing. So I'm thrilled and I am over the moon. And I know that we say this often that I think every topic we talk about is exciting and beneficial. You know, it may not always resonate with everyone listening, but for the most part, they are always our personal experiences. So we're always really thrilled to share our experience and our knowledge and the things that we've learned and the things that work and the things that don't work. But this one in particular, you and I talked about before I left for Italy.
Yep.
And I said, I cannot wait for us to have a conversation about this. And
yes,
I think being away for 10 days, and you all know me, and when I'm really excited about something, a new awareness or a new teaching or something that I'm learning about myself that's going to help me grow, I get like so excited.
She has been so excited about this since before she left and since she got back, for sure.
Well, and I think I did kind of a little, you know, I don't know what you call it. You know, we talk about being the scientist of our own lives. I think I was my own scientist those 10 days, and I was just keenly aware of this topic and how it was affecting my life.
Mm-hmm. I will say, it's been so nice to hear since you've come back from your trip that you felt like you really were able to take a break and to restore and to not have so much of your regular everyday stress. And it does go to show how important that is to have these kinds of breaks every once in a while. And you really hadn't had that in quite a long time. So I'm so happy that you got that and you are feeling this way and that we're ready to have this chat that you've been so excited for this week.
Well, and I have to give deep gratitude. We have very dear friends there. You and I have a husband and wife. Angelo and Ava.
Yes.
They are the most extraordinary humans, and they're so loving and so caring and so kind. We've known them since you were a little girl.
Yep.
So 20 some years, 30 years. And they, you know, he said, you know, what do you want to do when you come here? And they own a travel company. And I said, actually, Angela, I just want to do, I don't want to plan anything. And I just want to do whatever it is we all feel like doing. So it was really nice to have people there that I love so much kind of took care of me.
Family.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I know we talk
they
about family a lot.
Yeah.
Since we don't necessarily fit into the typical idea of family and losing family members or having to distance from family members. And it is true that you can create your own kind of family with the people that you surround yourself with. And they really took care of you and take care of us like family when we go there and vice versa. So I love that. And their travel company is Access Italy. If you ever want to visit Italy and want the best, not that this is an ad, but
it's not,
they really are the best of the best. So
they're very loving, caring people. And yeah, it was nice. I sorry to interrupt you, Michelle, but it was just, I can't get over, it's sometimes hard for me to let other people take care of me.
Yes.
And not necessarily to have a plan. And I had no plan, and I allowed them to, you know, we just did whatever they thought. You know, he calls me Bella Barbara, let's just go for a drive to Tuscany, or let's just go do this. And I tell you, every place we ate or every restaurant we went to, there was no menu. He just said, you know, he knows I'm vegetarian. He just said, I'll order for you, you know, and Ava,
so nice.
His wife. Yeah. You just relax and enjoy. So it is nice. And it's a different experience for me to be taken care of and just really, you know, disconnect, you know, disconnect in the world and not, you know, I go on retreats and silent retreats, but just to actually disconnect in the world and just be so.
And enjoy yourself.
Yes. So I have lots to talk about this topic, Michelle.
Yeah. I'm really so excited. I'm truly, truly happy that you had that time and you deserve that.
Thank you for
such a hard few years. So yes.
Thank you for taking care of things here though.
I have, you know,
big gratitude.
Someone's got to stay home and keep things afloat.
Big gratitude for you too. You really stepped up, which you always do.
We're a good team.
Yes.
So, okay. Today's topic, like you said, we had some chats before you've left and, you know, you're bursting at the seams to talk about it now. Can you share where this came from and the inspiration and where it started for you that inspired you to want to talk about what we're going to talk about today?
Yes, I would love to. Really, the topic is to stop apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
And
gasp.
Yeah. I mean, really just stop. And it doesn't mean, I mean, we'll go into all the details of what that means, but I want the title just to kind of be stop apologizing. And what started this whole thing for me is you and I were doing something benign. I don't even remember what we were doing together. And I apologized. I did something happen. I apologized. And you said, what are you apologizing for? Which somehow just resonated for me deeply in that moment. That you say that to me often throughout our lifetime.
I do notice I've been saying that to you, especially lately.
Especially lately. And yeah, especially with the divorce and all the upheaval in the past couple of years. And when you said that again this time, it was very easy breezy. Like, what did you apologize for? You know, what did you do? And I don't know. You know, I believe when we're ready to break a habit or go deeper into some kind of a pattern that we're doing in our lives, the door opens at just the right time. And that is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And when you said that to me, I thought, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for a little bit about it. And I said, I don't even know. And it just really was profound in that moment for me. And I remember thinking to myself, as we went on doing whatever it was we were doing, I remember thinking to myself, I got to figure this out. This is important.
Yeah.
She says this often. I do apologize often for nothing, and I really want to go deeper into this. And I use my meditation practice, but I just use the intention of, I want to sort this out because I feel like it's really important. And especially I want to add the caveat of being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do feel like being a woman always in our world, but it just feels like if we're used to being apologetic for no reason, because we haven't, I believe the definition of apology is to apologize for something that we've done wrong.
Well, right. Let's.
I won't go into that, but I was
I was just going to say.
So it was profound for me. I'm thinking, I know what apology means. And I'm apologizing and saying, I'm sorry. Probably as I did this while I was in Italy and thinking about it, I probably say, I'm sorry 30 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
probably at a minimum. I was just really noticing with myself. So that awareness, as we always say, is key. And I, you and I both believe that it is the key and really the instrument in being able to free ourselves from habits that we don't think are serving our best interest or serving humanity or anything else that we're doing in life. So,
yeah, I love that awareness that you picked up for yourself, Mom, about how many times you do say, I'm sorry throughout the day. And it is important to, I think, clarify or to define, you know, what an apology is or then where we need apologies, because obviously they are an important practice for making amends for wrongdoings. Obviously, if you do something wrong or if you hurt someone's feelings, you apologize or you express your regret for, you know, that kind of behavior or for doing something that harmed someone else, which is a very important practice in our world and in our society. I think where we are coming from with this conversation is the habit of saying, I'm sorry, like you said, in instances where you haven't done anything wrong or where there is no harm. And where does that come from? Why do we have, why? And like you said, and I can relate to this too, as women, does it seem to be more easy to adopt this habit of apologizing at any little thing or for any little reason? Where does that stem from? Where does that come from? And how can we start to break it down? And it is so funny because we've been working with a lot of Canadians lately. And I know Canadians kind of have that stereotype of always saying sorry. And so I think since you and I have had that this conversation between the two of us and talking with our Canadian colleagues, I've been able to really see how prevalent it is where, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, I'm sorry, for things that aren't necessary. And I guess all of that to say, it's a thing and it takes up a lot of our mental energy. And I know we're going to talk about today how something that seems pretty innocuous and harmless actually is kind of harmful for us, for our mental health, our emotional health, and our relationships. And so I know you started off this conversation that you were really excited about it, but I'm really excited about it too.
I'm so glad because I think, you know, if you just, all of you listening, if you just think for just a moment, take a little pause here and just ask yourself, you know, think about how many times you say you're sorry or when was the last time you said I'm sorry? And did you actually mean it? If it was a necessary, I'm sorry, but we'll get into that later, I think, in terms of, you know, apologies that are necessary and how do we actually use the apology for the change behavior to make our relationship and our lives better. But to begin this, I want to talk about the apologies that are literally not making our lives better and actually draining our energy and really eroding our confidence. So, you know, I think about when I was doing this and really being very mindful about trying to understand how often I say it. I remember even when I got home from Italy, we were talking about sports because we're big sports, especially basketball.
She's back
with the
for
NCAA.
March Madness. Yes.
So we were talking about sports and I don't know, I had said something and you said, no, it's this. And I said, you said, no, it's this. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Because, and then I stopped myself and I thought, I didn't say this out loud to Michelle at first, but I thought, stop myself. So wait, why did you just apologize now? And it hit me. I apologized because I felt like I had done something wrong because I had the wrong channel or had the wrong whatever it was. And the way that I said it back to Michelle, I felt was maybe a little bit too aggressive and that she was going to be mad at me. And I didn't want her to think that I was coming after her. It was such a weird, bizarre. It was so bizarre. And that's why I'm so grateful that I have this awareness and I'm really stopping myself every time I say I'm sorry. It was bizarre. So I stopped and told Michelle this whole story. She's like, what? What? And I said, yeah, this is the thing that I'm so excited about is it literally, there is a thing. And I do believe that this is with women more often than men. And there is a study and you can talk about the study in a little bit, but it's like, I don't want to come across, you know, too aggressive or too, not confident, but just like if my words sounded a little bit too not polite enough.
Right.
Or not
people pleasing.
Or not sensitive enough. And I think it's people pleasing, but it also goes a little deeper than that. Like I don't want her to be mad at me.
Well,
I don't want her to think that I'm offending her.
Well, not to interrupt you, but in that particular instance that you're talking about, I think it was like the time I said, oh no, that's not the right time. And you said, I'm sorry. And I kept going on. And then you said, oh, I didn't need to say I'm sorry. And I thought you were going to be mad at me and blah, blah, blah. And I realized for myself in that moment, how exhausting and debilitating that must be to have to be so in your thoughts and overanalyzing of these kinds of dynamics. And that, you know, you said you're sorry, but then you realize that the tone and you didn't want to upset me and you wanted to make sure everything was okay. And all of that, that's a lot to manage in just what is seemingly a simple nothing back and forth.
And I think
so it opened my eyes as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of like why I love this podcast, because we share all these experiences, because we're both, you know, we have the adage, I have a deep belief that we are in this planet to learn, to grow, and then become the greatest version of who we are so that we can do the great work that we came here to do, whatever that is, in every aspect of life. And it changes moment to moment. It doesn't mean like there's one grand thing, but, and so I'm very passionate about this, because what I've realized being gone for 10 days is that the more that I'm becoming aware of apologizing for nothing, the more I'm becoming aware of my idiosyncrasies about, are they going to be mad at me? Mm-hmm. Are they going to think I'm too aggressive? Are they going to be able to, can I say, I don't agree with you, and they're not going to take, you know, their toys and go home. I don't know if this is what happened to me and, you know, as a child or whatever, you know, it's just kind of this, all of this has been in my brain about how the unnecessary apologies, the more that I can become aware of it, the more I notice that they have taken my confidence. Mm-hmm. They have taken my sense of ownership of who I am and taking up space. They've made me shrink a little bit. Oh, I don't want to sound too aggressive, or I don't want to sound too, I'm like constantly second guessing myself, mm-hmm, without even knowing it. Now I know it, but I was unaware of it before. And so it just became such a really serious habit, is what I've noticed. Like, I just say it like it's an automatic response. It's like the trigger and the response. There was no pause.
An automatic band-aid for life.
Yeah, there was no pause. I'd say I'm sorry. It just kind of came out. It'd be like who I am, I guess. And that's not who I am. It's not who I desire to be. So it was very interesting for me to really understand that I can disagree with someone. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, I disagree with you, I can just say, you know, I just don't see it that way. I have a different opinion about it. I don't need to say I'm sorry first. Mm-hmm. I think leading with I'm sorry. Why am I sorry that I have a different opinion?
Right.
It just, for me, it. I know this might be a little bit, I don't know, heady or deep right now, but it's like, I've really gone deep into this. Why do I have to be sorry that I have a different opinion?
Right.
Am I afraid you're not going to like me anymore? Am I afraid it's going to get confrontational? And ooh, I don't want a confrontation here. I'm still working on what my fear is, but the underlying reason, I think, what I've decided or what I've come to the realization of is that fear. There's some kind of fear. So I lead with I'm sorry, hoping that it'll kind of settle the waters a little bit and be a little bit more gentle when I tell you that's not what I think.
Preemptively trying to avoid a disagreement or
exactly
something like that.
But for what reason? I'm still looking at, is it, I don't like confrontation, or I want you to still like me, or is it people pleasing? I'm not quite sure exactly. And maybe it's a form of some of it, but I love sharing it with all of you listening, because I think that we do this, and it's so important, because what has happened, besides the fact of being away 10 days and Michelle running everything and I didn't have to think about anything, I also think that I've gained so much more clarity and so much more energy.
Yeah, you have been on a full tank since you've been back.
You know, I think, and I go back to this idea of it usually is that I don't want to be aggressive or I don't agree with you. So those are the two constants that I think I'm seeing. But one of the things I want to say as an example that might help all of you understand what I'm saying, instead of even saying, I'm sorry, I don't see it that way, how about, your point of view is intriguing. You know, I was just going back to that example because it just hit me that I always lead with, I'm sorry. And instead of that, just saying, you could also say to someone, if you're a little bit fearful, this is where I've gotten this. If I am a little bit fearful, I just, you know, I'm sorry. Your point of view is interesting, but I have a different take.
But saying I'm sorry.
But not saying I'm sorry. I didn't do anything.
Oh.
I don't have to be sorry from my own point of view. I guess that's where I'm going with that. You look a little confused. Did I kind of shift? I kind of went right back to, you always tell me that I astral travel or whatever it is. I kind of went back to that example because I wanted to really showcase the idea that we don't have to be sorry for having a different point of view. We never have to just lead with, I'm sorry, if we're not in agreement.
We don't have to apologize for being different.
We don't have to apologize for being.
Right.
And I think that's what I am saying that I do often without even realizing it.
Right.
So I'm kind of bringing us back to the full idea of being aware when something is taking your energy, when something is making you feel small, or when something is kind of taking your confidence. I don't think I knew any of these things up until now.
Of course. And I think it is a worthy practice or challenge or game for us to try and start to take a day and see how many times it's our instinct to say, I'm sorry, or, oh, sorry, 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 I didn't mean to do, you know, anything like that. And what is the situation that's causing us to go into that habit? And, you know, at the bottom of it, is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it uncertainty, confidence, those kinds of things? Because at least from my experience, I think I tend to over-apologize or unnecessarily apologize when I sense that there's going to be friction or a disagreement or it's going to be a hard conversation and I'm trying to preemptively smooth things out or seem more amenable or seem more pleasing or seem more likable. For me, it's definitely a people-pleasing tactic and behavior where I, you know, probably from when I was a kid, picked up that people liked people more when they were more passive and agreeable and not so harsh and brash and speaking up for themselves. And so for me, it's definitely been an eye-opening practice to start to see where it is my inclination to apologize and then ask, like, is an apology necessary here? Is it appropriate? And then what is the feeling that's underneath it that's nudging me to act this way?
I think it's beautiful, Michelle. I think it's that whole thing that we teach and practice ourselves often is, you know, before we speak or before we're ready to say, I'm sorry, once we become aware that this is kind of a habit that we do, you know, pause for a moment, you know, and ask ourselves the questions you just said. Pause for a moment. Wait a minute. Did I do anything here? Do I need to say I'm sorry? And I think that it's very interesting that we are working with a lot of Canadian coworkers, which has been so fabulous to actually work with, you know, another country and work with other things and other people with different ideas and different thoughts. And I was looking before we came on the air to talk about I'm sorry a few days ago. I was looking and I ran across a study.
Came on the air. That was cute.
No, I am old school.
I like it. I said it was cute.
According to a study, there's a study by the University of Waterloo, Canada, which I thought was cool, that women apologize more frequently than men because they have a lower threshold for what's considered offensive behavior.
That's interesting.
And I think that that is true for me. And I hear this a lot from people that it's not, you know, you're right. It's people pleasing. It's avoiding confrontation. And I think for me, I become the peacemaker, the peacekeeper. If you asked 100 people what they think about my handle on Instagram is and social media is Peaceful Barb.
Yeah.
If you ask people what they think of about me first, they would say, oh, she's a peacemaker or she's a peacekeeper or she wants peace. Peace would be the word in the equation in the sentence somewhere. And I think it's probably not an accident. Yes, I want peace. But when I talk about peace in my work and all of that, I'm talking about the inner peace, the inner knowing that I can handle whatever life sends my way, because that has always been my struggle, you know, starting with my, you know, recovery and bulimia. So yes, but to actually now tie saying I'm sorry and not wanting confrontation or not wanting other people to be angry with me and just looking at this whole realm of making myself a little bit smaller, avoiding something or being fearful of something has really opened my eyes to am I a peacekeeper at what cost? But that's not bringing me inner peace. It's bringing me inner conflict. Mm. Like it's actually counterproductive to what it is I'm trying to do in my life. You know, I'm a freedom. Freedom is my thing. We talk about it all the time, you and I personally.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it on the show. freedom, but not freedom in the external world, because we are privileged
right.
to have freedom in the external world in here in the United States, but freedom from the inner demons or the inner conflicts in the mind, mostly. I'm a mind expert, I call myself, because I've done so much study in the mind for almost 40 years. And I thought, wow, I'm saying I'm sorry. And I'm falling into this trap of why, as I looked at, you know, I you know, don't offend anyone, or I don't want somebody to be angry with me, or the confrontation that it might, you know, cause, or, you know, all those things. I'm thinking, I'm really jailing myself, kind of. I'm really constraining myself. I am taking up all this energy internally that I'm not even aware of, you know, by doing something and having this habit for fear of these things that I just mentioned, you know, confrontation, making others angry, all of those things, and the things that you mentioned about people pleasing.
Remember when we told you about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, we've got more details about this cutting-edge way to measure your biological age because it's seriously so cool and incredibly insightful. My mom and I took the test, and we absolutely loved learning more about our biological age, our health, and just getting the data so that we can make better choices to improve our health. True Age analyzes hundreds of thousands of markers on your DNA to reveal your true biological age and how fast you're aging compared to others. It tells you how fast 11 key organ systems are aging, and you get a breakdown of 75 plus key longevity biomarkers with things like metabolic health, immune response, and even risk factors for certain conditions. TrueAge was developed by doctors and scientists from Yale, Harvard, and Duke, drawing on one of the world's largest DNA databases so that you know these insights are backed by serious science, which of course we love. Along with your results, you'll receive personalized recommendations to help you improve your numbers and even potentially reverse your biological age over time. The best part, it's easy and convenient. The TrueAge test is done at home, so no doctor visit or big needles required, which is amazing. You send off your sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get your detailed online report about your aging and health, fast and hassle-free. So if you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code BARBKNOWSBEST to get 20% off your entire order. This is your chance to take control of your aging and make every year count more for your health. Visit truediagnostic.com and use BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout to get 20% off. Taking control of our health and wellness can be confusing and overwhelming. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they all mess with our hormones. Then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's natural, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is, we don't have to suffer through any more of it anymore. Because now we have Hormone Harmony. A formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty of adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
So would you say that the actions that you were taking to be the peacekeeper externally were internally causing you conflict?
Yes.
Having the adverse effect.
Yes. Having.
So, things could be okay on the outside, like preemptively apologizing or saying I'm sorry in a situation that it's not necessary, maybe maintaining some sort of semblance of peace on the external with someone else or with a situation, but in doing so, internally chipping away at your self-confidence or the relationship that you have with yourself, or even just your own sense of clarity and certainty within yourself?
That's a beautiful question, because I think it's so subtle what I've noticed. So I want to get clear that saying I'm sorry and looking at it as a way of keeping the peace or avoiding some conflict, it never stopped me though from taking a stand in life to what I knew was true and the work that I wanted to do, which is really weird. Like, it hasn't kept me small and moving forward in what it is that I want to do for humanity and the work mm-hmm. that you and I do together and how I felt my whole life. You know, I am 100% humanitarian, really. I want all beings to be treated equally and they're created equal, all of the things. So it hasn't stopped me from my work. But what I noticed in doing this deep dive is it takes my energy. Mm. And as I've gotten older, maybe that's why I'm noticing it more, I still have a lot of energy, but I noticed that it's not as much as I used to have, obviously, because I've gotten older. But what I've noticed is I get a little bit more tired, or I get a little bit more, or procrastination starting to show up a little bit. Oh, I'll just do that tomorrow. And as I've done, this is so complicated, layered. I know, and it's so layered, but as I've noticed, it's because, oh, I want to keep the peace here because I want to do what I want to do. So it's a little bit manipulative if you think about it. I just naming that right now, I hadn't even thought about that till this conversation. If I just keep the peace here, then I can get what I want and then I can keep doing what I'm doing. But it takes a toll on the inner, really, who am I, and the inner freedom that I'm looking for and the inner freedom that I need to do the work to the level that I want to do it. I don't know if any of this is making any sense because it is so layered.
No, it makes
but
sense.
I think the bottom line is, it to kind of simplify it, is that whenever we're having a habit, so I believe that my I'm sorry is my habit. It's been my go-to and didn't even realize mm-hmm. how often I was saying it. Whenever we have a habit that is not in alignment with the strength and the knowledge of who I know that I am, you said this beautifully a few minutes ago, like it's kind of eroding a little bit who I know myself to be, the confidence that I have and who I'm allowing the I'm sorry's and this idea of needing to keep the peace, so to speak, to name who I am. Mm-hmm. And so when it's not really who I am, I know that I am a strong, confident, capable woman, and I love my life and I love the work that I do and I love humanity and I love everything about it. But I've got this little habit that I have here that is eroding some of that confidence from the inside out that I wasn't even aware of. Mm. Ooh, I can't make this person angry with me. Why? I don't know. You know, if I think back on it, I have no idea why I don't want that person to be angry with me. I have no idea why I thought I needed to say I'm sorry first before I said, I don't necessarily agree with your thought process, but you can own yours and I can own mine. So what it got me to was, we talk so often about not taking things personally, and what other people say and what other people do is their opinions, but they're not our opinions. So I thought, wow, I believe that with my whole being, mm-hmm. but saying I'm sorry first before I go talk about something that I believe in is counteracting that. Mm. I don't need to apologize to you because I haven't done anything to you. It really was so contradictory to the idea of not taking things personally, allowing that person to have their own stance, but me not needing to shrink to say I'm sorry before I start saying my piece, before I viewed my, thoughts and opinions. And all of this with grace, or all of this with kindness and love, I'm not attacking people. I'm not going to say I'm sorry because I'm really going to go after you. I would do it just randomly all the time without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So it became part of me. And I think once you know your own mind, which is my biggest thing in life, you start to develop a real keen awareness that I really want to stand by who I am and my word. You know, that four agreements we talk about, don't think.
Don Miguel Ruiz.
Yeah, that we've used. We talk about that book often.
Yeah.
You know, don't take things personally, but then also be impeccable with your word. That's come up for me a lot. I want to I want to stand by my word. And even if it offends someone, but I'm still speaking with respect and loving kindness. But even if it offends someone, I don't want to be afraid of risking my reputation or risking my, whether they're going to like me or not in whatever group setting I'm in or whatever. And I didn't realize how all that was kind of coming together. And the more that I'm finding I'm trusting my own word and standing in my own confidence and my own word and my own strength of who I know that I am, a loving, kind human being, but I have very strong beliefs and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm not flexible in those, but these are my ideas. I'm not flexible in being able to speak them. And then we can find some way of coming together to resolve whatever conflict there is. It's given me so much more courage to be more of who I am and say what I think and not apologize first. I'm sorry I think differently than you do. No, I'm not sorry I think differently. I'm proud that I think differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that I'm not also proud of you. Like it's a really interesting dynamic, I think, and why I'm so excited to talk about it, because I think it's transformational.
Yeah.
I actually want to write a little book about it. I'm so empowered by this, you know? So now I'm starting to take a deep breath. Like today when I said, I'm sorry for no reason, because it was a different channel. I mean, it's so silly. I started to take a deep breath and say, okay, wait a minute, Michelle, that didn't make any sense. And I'm hoping to get where I take a deep breath before even the words I'm sorry come out of my mouth.
Right.
Because I think losing the I'm sorry, this is where I want to go with this. Losing the I'm sorry has the power to give us a stronger stance in our own lives, to give us more groundedness in who we are, and give us more confidence. And the more confidence I have in who I am allows me to let other people be more of who they are. And then I don't take things personally.
Well, that for sure. And I think another interesting dynamic of this with the over-apologizing or apologizing when it's not necessary is how it does weaken or dilute or maybe make people feel that you're not sincere when you do actually need to apologize.
Love it.
Like when we were talking about this before we hit record and thinking of my thoughts on the topic, it kind of brought up for me, you know, the boy who cried wolf kind of energy of, if you're always apologizing and saying, I'm sorry, especially in instances that it's not necessary or not deserving or not appropriate, when something does happen and you say, I'm sorry, is it going to be received? Is that person going to believe you? Or is it just going to be like, okay, you always say that. That wasn't hard for you to say because it's your habit to just say, I'm sorry. You know, like the boy who cried wolf when he said it was a problem and no one believed him. And then when it was important, you know, when he was in trouble, no one came. And that's an interesting dynamic for me to contemplate because, like we started at the beginning of the episode, I believe deeply in the act and the practice of apologizing and making amends when we've done something wrong. I think our relationships benefit so much and they grow so much stronger when we're able to admit fault, when we're able to, you know, accept a wrongdoing or really own it and speak to it that we know we've done something wrong and we're going to try our best moving forward to change the behavior so that harm isn't caused going forward. I think that's so powerful. And thinking that that practice could be diluted or minimized due to this habit of the opposite, apologizing when it isn't necessary, is really fascinating to me. And I feel like I'm kind of approaching this conversation from that perspective, because if I find myself needing to apologize for something, like I want that person to feel it and to believe it and to actually know that I'm taking it seriously and that I'm, you know, earnest in my emotions and that it is thoughtful and heartfelt and that I care. And so I would never want my effort of apology to be dismissed due to this habit. And so all that to say, it's just been really interesting for me to think about it from that perspective as well, knowing that that does matter to me. I want people to know that I'm sorry when I'm actually sorry and not just think it's something I'm saying to band-aid a situation.
Michelle, I couldn't love what you just said more.
Oh, good.
Many things came up for me. One is, you know, my 40 plus year now recovery from bulimia is steeped in the 12-step program. And so making amends was a huge part of my recovery in my life to begin with 40 years ago and ongoing now to this day. So making amends at what you just said and making amends and truly being sorry, how that has translated for me in my life for the past decades has been, I think there's nothing more powerful than going to a person that you've harmed or actually done something wrong and saying, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Being able to admit it.
Being able to say, I am wrong. I was wrong. I wronged you. There's something about that word wrong that I think sometimes we have a little bit of a bristly effect about. We can't be weak enough to say we're wrong. No, there's nothing more powerful than saying I was wrong. I harmed you. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like the huge proponent of, and I'm sorry means I'm going to change my behavior, which is what in the 12-step program, making amends is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I wronged you. I am sorry. And this is how the behavior is going to change. So I love how you set this whole thing up, Michelle, with this discussion, because it is so powerful and it is something that's needed and so necessary in our world today to be able to be strong enough and confident enough in your own skin to say, I was wrong. I harmed you. And now let me do the inner work to change my behavior. I also want to say about you, you're not a person that says, I'm sorry, randomly like I am. I've noticed that over the course of the 10 days. You don't just randomly say, I'm sorry. And I think it's why over the years you've said to me, what are you sorry about, Mom? Your I'm sorry's are very deep and they are exactly what you just said. You walk that walk.
Thank you.
Of that you mean it, you say I'm wrong, and then you change the behavior. Or you work. I mean, it's not you can't turn on a dime. You know, changing my behaviors back when I was bulimic. It's the intention and that I am going to work on. This is my intention and this is, I'm going to change this behavior. So I just wanted to say that about you because I think apologies mean a lot to you. And maybe that's why over the years when I'm just randomly apologizing before I start talking, you say, what are you sorry for? When I thought about it these past few weeks, you have said that often to me over the years and I just kind of let it go. Because I think what you're saying, it is important that we apologize. But it kind of erodes what a real apology is, which is what you just said. And I think when we've genuinely hurt someone, it is crucial to say, I am wrong. I am so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
First, I ask somebody, what can I do? Is there anything in particular that you would like for me to do? And most often they'll say, no, I just wanted to let you know. And then I say, well, I promise you, I'm going to change my behavior. Because I think those sincere apologies that you're talking about, and you are really big on this, you know, they do build relationships. You are so passionate about relationships. You have so many deep, caring, good friendships and relationships. I said that to you often. And it builds relationships, and a sincere apology then rebuilds the trust. And I've noticed in me, you know, being a sexual abuse survivor, being bulimic, all the things, trauma, all the things that I've been through that you all have heard about throughout the course of the few years of our podcast, you know, trust is an issue for me. And so I think the idea of sincere apologies, but then taking away this idea that I don't need to just say I'm sorry for just any random thing without even knowing what it is I'm saying sorry for, is diluting it, like you said. So taking responsibility and accountability for the times that we've harmed people is crucial in life. And being aware of what we have done and our part in anything is crucial. And being able to say I'm wrong. But then also the other side that I'm really passionate about too in this conversation is really try to break that habit of starting any conversation out with, I'm sorry, unless you've done something wrong, unless you've hurt someone, unless you need to make an amend. So that self-awareness has helped me start to little by little by little break this cycle of saying these random apologies before I become who I am, or before I state what it is that I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I've regained a lot of energy. I don't know where else it's coming from except taking 10 days off for sure. But I've regained so much energy, but also so much more mental clarity.
Yeah.
You know, as we get older, as I've gotten older, you know, especially with the pandemic and everything, I think I said to you, and taking care of my sick dog for 2 years and all of that, I thought, you know, I just kind of feel like my mind is all fuzzy or my mind is all scattered. I have so much more clarity, so much more clarity, and an inner sense of this is who I am. Be proud of who you are. You love people deeply. Don't apologize for having a different point of view or for having a different stance in life,
mm-hmm.
or for feeling like maybe the road that someone else is taking isn't necessarily for you, but we can still be friends or we can still have a relationship. It doesn't have to all be an all or nothing situation.
Yeah, I do love this piece of your newfound sense of clarity and energy and confidence since identifying this habit and having the intention of monitoring it and changing the behavior and seeing the results pretty quickly. Because I think, you know, we all do these things wanting to have positive impact on our lives, and that you've had such an amazing experience with this is really encouraging for all of us who are now wanting to follow suit. So if you're listening to this and you can identify with this habit, or you think you might be someone that tends to apologize unnecessarily, let's talk about some practical tips for how they can do that, put this into practice and get some of those benefits that you're experiencing today. I think firstly, like you've said throughout the show, is having the self-awareness of this habit, where it's popping up, when it's popping up, when where it's stemming from. Like we say, probably every episode, awareness is key. Awareness is the first step.
And I think it has to be something, you know, I think we say this often too, but maybe not often enough, because I'm not having the recollection of saying it recently on the show. I think we have to want to.
Everything
that we talk about.
Desire.
You have to want to change. You know, once you become aware, like if you become aware of this, then you have to have the desire to say, wait a minute, you know, this habit seems like something that isn't serving my highest and greatest good or whatever it is I'm trying to do in life. Then I have to want to go a little bit deeper,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, what we do talk about that. This is what life, I think, is about, learning, growing, and becoming, that we talk about. So you have to want to. And then, you know, so the next thing would be to challenge your thoughts, which is what I did for the past 10 days and what I've been doing since you said to me before I left, you know, what are you sorry for, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Challenging your thoughts. Is there an apology needed here? Wait a minute. What is causing me? Not why. I don't want to say I'm not a why person. I think why is useful in certain ways, but for me, I'm a what.
Mm-hmm.
What is causing me to say I'm sorry? What is it? Because I always want to go.
What's underneath it?
Yeah, I want to go deeper. You know, the why would probably be, well, you've been traumatized as a kid and you're still carrying over the trauma. I mean,
right.
That I already know. So I want to go deeper, as you just said, Michelle. What is it? What is it that I always believe deeply that everything underneath the things that are holding us back is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you get below anger, when you get below greed, or when you get beyond pain and sorrow and all the things, it's always there's a fear. There's some residual fear underneath all of it.
For sure.
So it's fear. So I've been asking, what are you afraid of, Barb? Are you afraid of offending someone? Are you afraid they're not going to like you? Are you afraid that your views are, you know, very in, you know, contrary to their views?
Mm-hmm.
What are you afraid of? And is an apology needed here? Just those questions. And I think just really being open and receptive to challenging your thoughts, you know,
yeah.
Looking at your thoughts and what are causing me to say these things, what are causing me to do these things, and are they real? Are they in alignment with who I am? And is it real? Is that fear real?
Yeah.
And if they're going to leave you, this is what I came to at the end of it. If a friend is going to leave me because I have a very different point of view about whatever it is, then I'm going to wish them well and go through the pain and suffering of losing them, of course, and the feelings behind it. But do I really want to shapeshift myself and not be exactly who I am and do something that's not in alignment with who I am? So it's a very deep, deep conversation to have with yourself. That's why, again, I'm going to say, I think this is a really powerful conversation we're having. It's huge.
For sure.
We can't apologize for who we are.
For sure.
Unless we're causing harm.
Right.
That's always the caveat. If we're being evil and cruel and mean and harming, then yes, we need to sort something else out there.
For sure. And when you catch yourself apologizing or leaning into that habit, see if you can try to reframe that language.
Yes.
And like you were talking about at the beginning of the episode, instead of saying like, I'm sorry that blah, 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 or sorry, blah, blah, blah. I like this one a lot as for an example, sorry for the delay. Instead of saying that, saying thank you so much for your patience. And that's a really powerful, I love that. Thank you for your patience. And you always say, I appreciate you.
Yeah. I'm so happy you said that one. That's my biggest one right now, because you know what that's doing? And you're going to love this, Michelle.
Mm.
It's taking away this deep
time demon.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
I love
it. I've got a little bit of tears in my eyes. It's so powerful for me and I have goosebumps. I can't tell you how much it has like shackled me. This is why I talk about freedom so much, about being late.
Yeah.
About keeping someone waiting, about not being on time. I don't know where that came from as a child. I used to put my clothes out at 6 years old to go to school and be crazy about getting to school on time. I have
no idea.
You know, I guess it's maybe steeped in trauma. I don't know. I had a very traumatic childhood. I don't know where it came from. That's why the why doesn't matter, but it's the what. Okay, what is it? And it's a fear of being late. So this is my big one.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer say, I'm sorry I'm late. I'm sorry for the delay. I say, thank you for your patience. And I no longer think of all the reasons. Like I remember being stuck at the bridge, you know, recently, because the bridge was, they were doing some construction and I was really late. And I thought to myself sitting there for a moment, oh my gosh, now how am I going to explain this? Should I text them while I'm sitting? And I said, no, you're just going to thank them for their patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a society where there are going to be
unexpected delays.
Yeah. So I love that you said that one, because it's really released me from this burden of feeling like I can never be late or keep someone waiting.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, if that's a habit of mine that I'm always late, it's very disrespectful and then I need to do something about it, but that's not me.
Right. Well, and then the next, you know, practice can be to focus on your actions more than your words. Mm-hmm. I think like what I was saying, when someone just says, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and doesn't mean it, then it does lose its effectiveness and its power when it's necessary. So ask yourself, how are you acting and how are you making people feel with your actions rather than your words? Since you don't always need to be saying, I'm sorry, what are the actions that you can do to display respect and kindness and presence and that you're giving someone attention when you should be, or, you know, how are you contributing to a dynamic in a positive or a negative way with your actions, and really remembering that how you act has influence and impacts others?
I love that. And I would also say that the actions are, I mean, sometimes the words are necessary sometimes, yes. But you know what? What I've also discovered is the words are necessary. I was wrong. And I really... I'm sorry. I was wrong and I regret my actions, or whatever it is you feel like saying in that moment, and then end it.
Right.
I know in the past I've wanted to now explain, you know, oh, I'm going to change my actions, but please hear me out here. Let me explain to you. And I've realized, you know, really saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I will change my behavior. I will change my actions, and then actually doing it is the best apology we could possibly do. We don't need to have any more conversation about it. I think later, you know, as the actions start to change or the behavior starts to change, which is what I feel like is happening now during this episode, is like I'm coming to you saying, wow, I realize all this now, Michelle. Mm-hmm. I've been saying all this to you because X, Y, and Z. So I think sometimes the explanations or the discoveries that you have because you've really worked on changing the behavior mm-hmm. and the habit is more powerful than trying to explain it on the front end. And this is what I'm going to do later. Just do it.
Right.
You know, that just do it. And I think right actions for right now that we're doing for our future, you know, relationships with people and things is the best apology. And that is what makes amends for the past actions.
Yeah, for sure. And then lastly, you know, this is a tricky topic. You've mentioned that you tie this apology behavior and over apologizing to past trauma and, you know, childhood wounds and things like that. So, you know, if this brings up a lot for you, more than you think you can handle or more than you were ready for, obviously this is a great topic to talk about in therapy or with support or, you know, with someone that you trust, because it, you know, it is deep and it is rooted and there's a lot of self-confidence and self-worth stuff that will come up in this. And just know to be gentle with yourself as always when you're doing some of these practices and digging deep into your inner world. It's a lot. So be gentle.
And I love that too, Michelle. I love everything we're talking about today. I'm in love today. I love it. I have a dear friend who is a psychologist, and he always says, you know, therapy sometimes can be, you know, not available to many people. And it seems to be getting harder and harder today, not just financially, but just to find the right connection with the person that you're looking for. So having just that one other friend, like I have you.
Yeah.
You know, and I have other friends and I have other deep friends that I can have some of these conversations with, you know, one or two, but I have you that I can stop in my tracks and not be afraid to say, I don't know why I keep saying I'm sorry. And you're not going to make fun of me, or you're not going to say, well, get over it. You know, just diss me, disrespect me.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to try to have that one person that will not, this friend of mine, this psychologist friend, he will say, having that one person that won't invade you.
Yeah.
You know, invade your vulnerability and your sensitiveness, you know, or abandon you, you know, or say you're crazy, you know, don't talk to me about these things anymore. So having another person, and then I love what Brené Brown always says, that, you know, to have that one other person that has earned your trust
mm-hmm.
and have that, this conversation with that person. And I think for me, having the conversation with you is, and I used to have these conversations a lot with my friend Mary before she passed away, it's not only cathartic and helpful for the person having it, like it was me, mm-hmm. but it also helps the other person. I think you have such a fun interaction because that sense of trust and vulnerability between two people is magical.
Yeah, so true. Thanks, Mom. And thanks for sharing, as always, your insights and personal stories and habits and tricks and tips. If this resonated with you this week, try it out. See if you can start to notice if this is something that's going on for you in your regular interactions with people, and maybe seek to or intend to pull back a little bit in situations where it's warranted, and notice how it feels and see how that goes for you.
And I think,
and let us know
what I did, just to give you a little glimpse of what I did, was, you know, taking the opportunity to, like, I made a pact with myself. I'm going to, you know, have setting that intention really is what it is. Set the intention. I said to myself, I'm going to intend to really become aware and notice every time I say I'm sorry before I, whatever it is that's happening. Mm-hmm. And then I was asking myself, wait, am I really sorry? Did I do something wrong? Or am I just doing this because it's the habit? And it was very powerful. So just maybe, I like what you said, Michelle, just set the intention and use the opportunity for maybe a day, and then maybe carry it into the next day. And just noticing it, you know, awareness is key. And just the, you know, the first step, I believe, is to notice, is to become aware. So just noticing mm-hmm. when it was really unnecessary for me to say I'm sorry. And then you said to then notice how it feels. Is powerful.
Yeah.
It's life-changing. It truly, truly, if you're looking for little baby steps to change your life. You know, we talk about just one little tiny thing that you do in a direction of serving, you know, who you are and what you're wanting in your life will make a difference. You will notice the effect that it has. This is one of those.
Absolutely. I love it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you,
Mom,
all for being
thank
here.
Thank you all for listening. And thanks, Mom, for sharing. We are so grateful for you, and we're grateful for you, our listeners, for joining us each and every week for these conversations. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode as it drops. If you're loving the show, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and leave us a review. It's super, super helpful for us and for the show when you do so. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or future podcast topic requests, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is the best way to stay in touch. Over in the show notes, you'll see a couple links for our Substack, so head over there if you're interested in connecting more. And that is all. Thank you so much again for listening, and thank you, Mom. And we'll chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.